2 Timothy chapter 4, 1 through 5. Okay, now, let me backtrack. Okay, let me backtrack. Why do we do sermons at church to begin with? I actually taught on this before. Maybe not to you guys, but let me give you a brief rundown. Okay, so sermons are like where the pastor, the preacher, some church leader will get up onto the pulpit and preach. We'll talk, right? It's about up to an hour of time, okay? And we see it as God has given us his word, and his word needs to be communicated to God's people. And so that's why we do that. We're communicating God's word to his people. The form, the method, the means of that happening, the mode of communication is called a sermon. Okay, now, I'm doing that right now in Sunday school too, right? We do that in Sunday school too. So what's the difference? There's several differences, okay? But maybe the easiest way to see the difference is that in a sermon, it's just one person talking. You don't really get a chance to talk back or interact. Now, in some churches, maybe they do, you know, have it that way, but probably for most Christian churches, and definitely for our church, there's no interaction that takes place. You sit there, you listen. And the way that we see that is because, oh, this is what God's saying. So it's not like a conversation that you're having with God. It's God talking to us. You know, you see that in the Old Testament times when Moses would go up and talk to God. Well, not really talk to God. God's talking to him, right? It's always God delivering his word down to the people. And then in the New Testament church, you see pastors and people like Paul and then Timothy being charged to preach the word. And that's what we're going to look at today. Okay, so that's kind of how we do sermons here. It's a one-way communication, okay, that's coming from pastor, teacher, church leader, saying that this is what God says to you. Here in Sunday school, we do that too, but you know, we try to make it more interactive, and that's something that I've been trying to learn from Tiff and from the other co-teachers that I have. I think in years before Tiff, like it has been kind of more sermonic, and you know, I've gotten that feedback too, but we try to do some interaction. I try to get to know you better, I think. But you know, for the most part, that is a big difference where even in a classroom setting, it just makes it more like, oh, you can raise your hand and ask a question, or you can approach the teacher after, and there can be like follow-up. Whereas sermons, it's mostly the pastors that are making the decisions in terms of like, oh, this is the text that we're going to do. This is our preaching agenda. You know, where here in the classroom, yeah, the students do get a little bit of a say. Now, in small groups, when we have small groups at church, it is Bible-based, but a lot of times our small groups are more relationally based. Okay, and so you'll see that because in small groups, you're probably sharing more about your lives, a little bit more personal, right? I think there's things that would be inappropriate maybe to share in a classroom setting, whereas in a small group, yeah, you want to share more details about your life and pray for each other and walk for each other, especially when we do things like having, you know, guy-only small groups or girl-only small groups. you guys are so bad, but yeah, guy-only groups, girl-only groups. That's a huge segregation here. But yeah, that's okay. That's another goal. Okay, for this year, maybe we should do more guy-girl interaction. Can we try to do something? Yeah, make a mental note. But yeah, okay. So you see how like there's different modes of teaching and stuff that we do at church, where sermons, Sunday school, small groups, very different things, all centered around the Word of God. Hopefully, right? Because even in small groups, you'll have a little devotion, or when you share, you're trying to encourage each other using the Word of God. Okay, and so that's kind of the different things about why we do have a place for sermons. And my main thing that I want to tell you today is, what am I trying to do in my sermons, right? That's what I was going to talk about. What am I trying to do? So you can get in my mindset, and so you can see how I can help you and how I want to grow in this way. So let's look at the passage, okay? 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 through 5. Now, we're actually studying the letters to Timothy this semester, so I thought this was actually a fitting way to do it. We're starting the new sermon series this week. Okay, the letter of 2 Timothy, it was not written by Timothy. Okay, the letter was written by Paul. I know that might be confusing. Paul is an apostle, and he's writing to Timothy. Paul is like the main pastor, the main leader, if you want to just see him that way. And Timothy is like his protege, his student, the younger Padawan who he's passing the baton to. Okay, so that's what he's doing. Paul is telling Timothy, learn from me, this is what I want you to do. And this is what he tells him to do. Okay, Paul tells Timothy, you know, this pastor, this young pastor, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Okay, so there's three things that I want you to see in this passage, and that will hopefully give you clarity in terms of like what I'm trying to do in my sermons. Okay, the first one, the first like point or the first truth that like kind of guides my sermons is this, is that when you preach, you're being charged in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and of the dead. Okay, so that's in verse one. It's a charge that comes from Paul, but it's actually really a charge that comes from God. Okay, so we have the church, it's God's people, we're supposed to be living in God's presence, and this is God's word. So when we preach, when we communicate God's truth, we're saying, hey, we are God's people. This is his word. We need to listen to him. That's our charge. That's our kind of like our motive in doing it. Okay, so there's a motive behind it, and the motive is that, hey, we're God's people. Okay, it's very, very basic, right? We're not just of the world, but we're people who belong to somebody. We belong to God. We belong to Jesus. We want to hear what he has to say, and he wants us to hear. So God has told pastors, leaders, teachers, I'm charging you to do this. This is your responsibility. This is your job. This is what you need to do. So it's coming from God, okay? That's really what I'm trying to say. The second thing that you'll see is in verse 2. It's very clear. Preach the word, okay? And that is just a very direct statement to Timothy, right? It's not, hey, Timothy, focus on like helping people like get their lives together, help them in their needs, which is true. They need that. But what we most need is to hear God's word. And so his main task is to preach. He's a teacher. He's supposed to guide God's people. And the way that we guide God's people is by using God's word. So the Bible is a tool that preachers and teachers and pastors and shepherds use to guide God's people. Okay, preach the word. And this is kind of where I really want us to focus on, okay? It says, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching. Sound teaching meaning things that are from the Bible, things that God says, but having itching ears, meaning having like this desire in us, having itching ears to hear certain things, they're going to accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, meaning people who will just tell them kind of what they want to hear. And they'll turn away from listening to the truth. They'll turn away from listening to the truth. And that's what Paul is trying to avoid, right? We don't want people to turn away from listening to the truth. We want people to listen to God. And that is kind of my motive in my preaching, is that I want to give you God's truth. Now, that's a loaded word. There's so much in there. A lot of people will say the goal of preaching is worship, which is true, right? I want you to worship God. And the way that I get you to do that is by listening to the truth of who God is and what he's done for you and how he needs to be worshiped. A lot of people will say, oh, the goal of preaching is, giving them Jesus. And that's true. And I see that as, oh, that's the truth, the reality of who Jesus is, the Son of God, and that he demands your attention and he deserves your worship. And so I see that as all truth, okay? All truth. And for preachers and teachers and pastors and shepherds, it's not like my truth, right? A lot of times we hear people saying, oh, you know, like, what do you feel and how do you see the world? I don't think that that has a place on the pulpit. I think that God's view of the world, God's, I guess, yeah, mindset, that's the real truth of the world, of us as Christians. And so, yeah, all these things together, you know, the charge coming from God, the call to preach the word, and the clarity of the truth, it has to have a place on the pulpit. And so that's what I'm trying to do when I preach. I try to give you God's truth. That includes the truth about God, that includes the truth about Jesus, includes the truth about the world and how we're supposed to see things. That's what we do. Now, there's different like ways people can do that. So you're going to hear people say things like, oh, we preach expositional sermons. And that's a good thing, okay? To exposit the Bible means that you take what God says and you deliver it from the Word of God. You're taking it directly from here. It's not like my thoughts, but we're taking God's truth and we're preaching that. So a lot of like motivational speakers or TED Talks, that's not from God, right? So people, pastors can actually do that. They can give you a TED Talk and you wouldn't know it because it sounds good. But if you're actually preaching expositionally, if you're expositing, taking out of God's word, that will be the content of it. Okay, and so that also differentiates like the church from the world, is that it's coming from here. There's also a way that people can preach, and that's topically. And that's okay too. Topical sermons are like, oh, this week we're going to preach on abortion. And so you'll take different verses from the Bible and you'll just kind of like make a sermon from that. And that's fine too. But for the most part, when we preach, we go through books of the Bible because that gives you a totality, a big picture of what God is saying. So those are like the two types of sermons that you'll see here. And that's what we also try to do here too. We try to give you a good, I guess, I don't know, a good meal of meaty sermons that come from God's word, but also appropriate if there's something that we need to address, like some sort of like, I don't know, world tragedy or something, then we can do that. And the way that I want to relate this to, I guess, my hope to improve my sermons is that even though we say, oh yeah, I'm just going to preach the Bible, I'm going to preach the truth, or I'm aiming for your heart. That's really what I'm doing. I do want to hit your heads, right? Because I want you to understand what God is saying. But I want God's word to transform your life. And the way that I do that is that I want to know you, okay? And I want to kind of know what you're going through. So thank you for letting me, like, I don't know, talk to you about these questions. Because I honestly, like, we live different lives, right? You guys and me. And I need to get some sort of insight into your lives. And so thank you for doing that. I aim for your hearts. And I think that I want to improve my sermons because if I can, you know, give you something to hook onto, some sort of silly illustration, then I'll do it. I'll do it for you guys, and I want to do it for you. God's word has the ability to change us. The preacher needs to kind of help make that happen. One more thing, and then we'll end, okay? This is why it's hard for me to give illustrations. I didn't give you, like, my feedback on your feedback, which everything was good. This is why it's hard for me, okay? It's hard for me to give illustrations, one, because of what I told you, right? About all this stuff, like, oh, this is like God, and you want to preach the word, and you have to give God's truth. It's actually hard for me to get up on the pulpit and start talking about myself. That's hard for me, because I am really convinced that the preacher shouldn't be doing too much of that. Maybe I'll do that in like the intro and the conclusion. You know, I'll try to like wrap it around something. But when I do like my application points, it's hard for me to talk about myself. It is. And I think because application is really personal, you know, and so I find it hard for me to talk about myself. That's something that I should get better at, actually. I hope to get better at that. But that is one reason why it's hard for me. Another reason why it's hard for me is because when you give an illustration, you want to make sure that the illustration actually matches what the Bible says. Sometimes you can give an illustration and maybe it's sort of like talks about it, but sometimes it might just confuse the point. or it might just like, that's not really like, you know, equal. And I feel bad if it's not equal. I honestly believe that only Jesus was able to like make parables or illustrations that like were 100% in tune what God is saying, because he's like totally infallible, right? He is the word of God. Whereas us as humans, when we give our own illustrations, we don't have complete knowledge of like God and his word. So it's like hard to like make it match. I think we can, right? And so I want to try to do that, but that's another reason why it's hard for me. And I think the last and final reason why it's hard for me to do it is because it takes work. It takes hard work to do it. And it takes time to sit there and think, okay, what part of my life is like able to do that? And honestly, like my life isn't all that interesting, right? Like I don't know, I wake up, I go to work, I take care of my kids. You know, that's really my life. I don't do anything like crazy. And so it's hard for me to think there and think, okay, what really can I pull from my life that will serve as an illustration? Now, to be fair, illustrations don't necessarily need to be from my life, right? I could tell you some story from history, from church history, but my personality is that seems a little bit disingenuous. I do like to, you know, try to make it as real and relatable as possible. But anyways, that's my mindset, okay? I care about you guys, and I do want God's word to influence you now and in the future. Whether you're 11th grade or 12th grade, man, like this is, the reality is that you guys are gonna grow up and you're gonna need God's word to guide you in your life. And that's what I want for all of you. Thank you for being here in Sunday school. Thank you for listening to my preaching and for allowing me to preach and teach you guys. I think Tiff and Sharon would say the same. It's a privilege to be in your lives. So thank you. We don't take it for granted. Even silly things like this, man, I take all of this and I try to make it worth our time together. So thank you. All right. Yeah. God's word, man. This is why we preach. And I do pray that you guys, that maybe some of you would grow up to be preachers and teachers and Sunday school teachers and counselors and church leaders and all that. You know, that's great. But really, really, man, like in our own personal lives, that's really what matters, you know, is that you love God individually, personally, and that, you know, as you're living your life, you're walking with him.